What I'm doing now is teaching from the Bible, and if you want to follow what I'm teaching from and don't have a Bible, there are Bibles on the table in the entrance. But this is, I do confess, this is a favourite passage of mine, and my family and poor Malcolm and Kathy have heard it so many times. I think it was in 2003 we had a trip to Japan. And I preached a number of times there, and so I just picked one sermon because it had to be translated every time into Japanese. And so the poor team, they just heard the same sermon over and over again. They probably needed to hear it. In actual fact, I preached this sermon the first evening we had house church in the senior citizens hall. But it's a lovely scripture, and it's very revealing about the person of the Lord Jesus. And I think it's, as we kick off the new year together, it's just so helpful, I think, to take a moment just to consider who he is again and how he functions toward us in our need. Because that glorifies him, but it also, well, it encourages our hearts in our need. It also, I think, reminds us of what the church needs to be like. The church needs to reflect the nature and character of Christ himself. That's an important issue, I think, because sometimes we have to be honest about the Christian church. The Christian church hasn't always done the best. The Christian church has failed. Sometimes the Christian church has hurt people. I think in our communities there are people that have been hurt by the church. And we need to be honest and mindful of that, and pray that we as a church don't hurt people, that we deal with people as Christ does. There are reasons, I think, in the way that sometimes the churches function that people are not willing to think about the Christian faith. But that's why I love to talk about Jesus, you see. Sometimes the church doesn't... Sometimes gets it right and sometimes doesn't, but Jesus never fails us. Jesus is the source of the Christian faith. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church and what it's meant to be. And sometimes the church may attract us and sometimes the church may offend us and hurt us, but Jesus himself is the most compelling figure. Jesus Christ has to be the most compelling person in all of history. And if we want to understand the Christian faith, we have to look beyond how sometimes the church may represent him to him himself. That's the true picture. And that true picture is in his word. It's in the Bible. As the Bible tells us about Jesus Christ, then we begin to understand what the Christian faith is and why there's reason to believe and why there's attraction to believing in Jesus as the only way, the truth, and the life. Well, here in this passage, it's a very simple story, isn't it? A very simple story at the beginning of Mark's gospel. A leper comes to Jesus. He falls down on his knees and he just cries out to Jesus and he says, "If you will, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And the scripture records that Jesus was moved with pity. He stretched out his hand and he touched him and he said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. A very simple story, but so profound as it reveals Jesus to us. Let me take a moment to unfold the crisis of the leper. What was going on with this man? What was leprosy and what did it really mean for him and in that culture? Let me just take a moment to do that with you, and I'll look up some Old Testament passages to help explain that. Leprosy in the Bible was a word used for many kinds of skin diseases. Here it may have meant what we tend to call true leprosy, which I think is called Hansen's disease, which is a disease where your nerves sort of cease to function and so you don't feel pain and therefore you can hurt and cut yourself and not feel pain, and so your body just starts deteriorating as you keep damaging it but you don't feel it. So he may have had that condition, or he may have had other skin conditions. But here's the thing. Let me list a number of things about his condition. First of all, it was a physical crisis. Simply because of, it could have been that kind of skin affliction that I've described. There's a really graphic illustration of that in the book of Numbers. Now, if you have a church Bible, it's on page 120, I think, 121. In Numbers chapter 12, 10 to 12, there's a description of Miriam, who under God's judgment becomes leprous. Verse 10 says, so Numbers 12, verse 10, when the cloud removed from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous like snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, O my Lord, do not punish us, because we have done foolishly and sinned. Let her not be as one dead whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes out of its mother's womb. There's a graphic description, see? Let her not be as one dead whose flesh is half eaten away. So physically, this man could have been in a terrible state. But that also means social rejection and isolation. So you notice what he says. He doesn't say, heal me of my leprosy. He uses the words clean, make me clean. That's a very, very significant word, because in the Old Testament, under the Old Testament law, the priest, who this was part of his responsibility, if someone thought they had a skin disease or an affliction, they would have to go to the priest. And the priest would examine that skin affliction and he would make a declaration. His declaration would be either clean or unclean. It was a religious ritual declaration. Now, let me just take you to a passage that describes that for us in the book of Leviticus, chapter 13. So there's two chapters in the book of Leviticus given to the issue of examining skin afflictions and making the declaration clean or unclean. So in Leviticus 13, verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a person has on the skin of his body a swelling or an eruption or a spot, and it turns into a case of leprous disease on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons the priest, and the priest shall examine the diseased area on the skin of his body. And it goes on to describe what he's looking for to decide whether he should say clean or unclean. If you jump over to verse 45, here's a very clear description of the result. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes, let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Now you see the picture here? You think, oh, this doesn't look good. You go to the priest and he says that's unclean. Immediately that means you have to avoid all social contact and you actually have to tell people, don't come near me. I have an infectious disease, don't touch me. And so any time there were people around, that's the picture. You put your hand over your mouth and you cry out, unclean, unclean. Imagine walking down the street saying to people, don't come near me. I'm unclean. Can you imagine? Begin to understand that pitiable sense of rejection. No one could touch him, you see, because here's the thing. The reason they said, don't come near me, don't touch me, I'm unclean, was because if anybody touched them, they would automatically end up being in the same category of uncleanness. So no one wanted that. So you had to warn people. Start to get the picture now. And he has heard that there's someone who can actually fix this problem. And he actually plucks up the courage to go into his presence. It actually meant this sense of being unclean in that culture was a sense of religious uncleanness, a religious isolation. It meant that The people who were declared unclean could not go into the house of God. They could not go into the temple. They could not go to a place of worship in the presence of God. They had to stay away from everybody and everything. So here's another illustration of that from the book of 2 Chronicles, which in the church Bibles on page 379. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 on page 378. Verses 20 and 21. Here's one of the great kings of Israel who became angry and sinned against the Lord, and again the Lord judged him with leprosy. We're told that leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priests in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense, and Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they rushed him out quickly, and he himself hurried to go out because the Lord had struck him. And King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and being a leper, lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. Okay, so the picture's building here now. Physical affliction, social isolation, religious isolation, which in the end carries with it that sense of spiritual isolation, even cut off from the presence of God. And as we've read with people like Miriam and this King Uzziah, very much that sense that leprosy was actually could actually be a sign of God's judgment for sin. Now you start to understand, you see, the condition this man is in and why he's so desperate and why he comes so desperately, because he's heard news of one who may help. He was feeling totally lost and stuck in his condition. The rabbis, Jewish rabbis, actually believed that the healing of leprosy was as difficult as the raising of the dead, and only God could heal a leper. So there was no help for him, but he heard about Jesus. You know, I think about his condition. There are times when we may not actually have a physical skin leprosy, but spiritually and in our own brokenness and sin, we can feel a bit like a leper. Like we're ashamed to be with people. We're cut off from others and maybe even cut off from God. But here to him and to us, we see the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a great act of faith for this man to come to Jesus. You see the act of faith in what he said? He said, "If you will, you can make me clean." See what he believed there? He believed that Jesus could make him clean. He believed that Jesus could do the impossible, that he could do only what God could do. His only question was, is he willing to do that great thing? Is he willing? So there we are in our sin. Jesus can forgive us. Is he willing? But look at the picture of Jesus. This is just one of those beautiful pictures of Christ. We read that he was moved with pity, moved with compassion. Jesus didn't just say, "Oh yeah, I can do it. No problem." Jesus' heart was moved towards him. Jesus' heart is moved towards him in his physical affliction, in his social isolation, in his religious and spiritual isolation. Jesus is moved with pity at the man's brokenness. See, in our brokenness, Jesus in his holiness and glory is also moved with pity toward us. Jesus didn't simply heal him, he did the unthinkable. He put his hand on him. I'll talk about this a bit more later on, but remember what I said earlier? The leper had to say, "Unclean, unclean, stay away, don't touch me." Well, Jesus did the unthinkable and he touched him. Can you imagine what that meant for that guy? For the leper, that Jesus would put his hand on him when no one else would go anywhere near him. Think of the ravages in his skin and the brokenness of heart. And Jesus said, "I am willing," and he touched him. What does all of this tell us about Jesus? Well, it tells us so much. It tells us how compassionate Jesus is, but it also tells us how powerful he is. Remember I said earlier that the rabbis believed, and the Old Testament actually implied that the only one who could ultimately heal a leper was God himself. And in that moment of declaration and in that moment of healing, Jesus is simply declaring without saying it, I'm God. I can do it. I can do what God does because I'm God. He is God the Son, you see. Here he is. In this picture, we see God the Son come to overthrow the reign of Satan. Why is there sin? Why is there brokenness? Why is there ravage like this? Why is there isolation and alienation? It's because of sin. Because of what Satan brought into the world as we responded in disobedience. And God in Jesus is there with his hand on the man saying, I have come to overthrow the work of Satan. And to restore wholeness and to heal brokenness. To rescue us and make us fit to dwell with God forever. This moment of healing anticipates the day when all sin and brokenness, when sin and all its effects will be completely eradicated. Because Jesus has come and Jesus has touched our lives. See this very kindly action of Jesus too. There's a whole lot more that we can't look at this morning, but he says in verse 44, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. You see, the priest had declared the man unclean. Jesus had made him clean, and he sends him back to the priest so the priest could look at it and say, man, you're clean. You are clean. The priest would make the official declaration. That would mean the man would know what had happened and that he was set free to return to society. And I think Jesus was also doing this as a testimony to the priests. See, sending that healed man, the priest would look at this and he would think, who did this? How did this happen? And the priest might begin to realize that the kingdom of God had come in Christ. Well, there's a compelling lesson in all of this. Again, the leper and his condition sounds very familiar. He sounds like me. Sounds like me. I have a disease called sin. It breaks and ravages me. Makes me sometimes unfit for society and God. Maybe you know that, and sometimes you might feel it very deeply. Well, notice this, you see, as we understand all this technicality and understand that the priest could examine someone and declare, make a declaration. They could say, you're unclean or you're clean, okay? But that was all the priest could do. The priest could only make a declaration. The priest could not make someone who was unclean clean. They could only make a declaration. That's how the law of God functions. God's standard for our lives makes a declaration about us. As we look at our hearts against God's holy standard, the call to love him with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and our neighbor as ourself, the call to not murder and commit adultery and not steal, that's the law of God, like the priest examining us, and the law looks at our broken hearts and says, unclean. That's all the law can do. It declares where we are. It can't take us from there and make us clean. See what Romans 3 says. Romans chapter 3 says, verses 19 and 20. Romans 3:19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. In other words, the law declares us unclean, and the works of the law will never make us clean. Verse 23, for all, every one of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Under the ray of the law, we are all declared unclean. And when we understand that and that conviction comes upon us, we are like the leper crying out to Christ, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And when you get to that position in your life to hear the words of the gospel that says, I am willing, be clean. That's the glory of the gospel of grace. I think for me that is movingly illustrated again in the fact that he touched him. For Jesus to touch him, the man who'd been declared unclean was to risk becoming unclean himself. Now just think about that with me for a moment, because that is profound. No one else would touch that man, but Jesus would and could and did. Do you know what that was saying? Do you know what that ultimately is implying to us? Jesus is saying, as he touches that man, he's saying this, I am willing to become what you are so that you can have what I have. See that? By touching him, he could have been declared unclean. And Jesus is saying, I am willing. I'm willing to be who you are, so that you can be who I am. Now that's the gospel. That's the cross. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, right there, nailed to the cross under the wrath of God, he's saying that, right here, I'm becoming what you are. Right here on the cross, though I have never sinned, though I am perfect and clean, I become what you are. Sinful and broken under the judgment of the law of God, bearing your penalty and death. It's the total identification with who we are in our brokenness. That's what that hand touch is. It's a total identification so that the man could have the freedom that Jesus offers, because Jesus takes his brokenness. So he identifies with us on the cross. He goes to the cross as a sinful leper, bearing God's judgment, cut off and separated from God for our sin, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be made clean in Christ, and so that the law of God, as it examines us now, it sees Christ and it says, clean in Christ. That's the gospel. We are so loved. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So we can know, looking at a simple passage like this, that as we come to him in our sin and need, no matter how great our sin, no matter how great our brokenness, no matter how great our spiritual leprosy, he is moved toward us with pity and compassion. Jesus Christ does not throw up his hands in disgust. He pursues us. He pursued us all the way from heaven to earth and all the way from earth to the cross. He pursues us and he touches us and he begins the work of restoring our broken humanity. Is not Jesus Christ compelling? The final simple little point I want to make here is that if we understand that love of Christ for us in our profound brokenness, if we understand how greatly we have been loved, if that love is at work in our hearts and lives, then we begin to show that love to a broken world. We live in a world of brokenness and sin. Sin through people's own choices or through the choices of others, people bear the consequences. But if Jesus could reach out his hand and touch that man, then we are called to no less as we reach out into the world, into the lives of others, into broken and needy communities. We show who Jesus is. The little motto for our church is learning life with Jesus. Right here in this passage, we learn that whether we have repented and believed in him or not, he holds out the greatest love and then sets us free to love our neighbor. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we bow before you in grateful worship this morning for how wonderful you really are. We know our need is so deep and profound, and yet you do not turn away from us. You have moved toward us in pity and in grace, and you are the one who can make us clean. Even this morning, we may be one who is crying out and out of uncleanness, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Grant that we would hear with faith and joy those words, I am willing, be clean, that we might truly know Jesus. And Lord, help us as a church to show him to the world by loving like he loves. Hear our prayer in his mighty name. Amen.